Hoppaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
I've got another place for you. And so while I'm preparing that place, I'm also preparing you.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today, Pastor Herron continues our study of the life of Christ, and specifically as he examines the I Am statements in the book of John. Today, we turn to John 14 and study Christ's proclamation, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
John chapter 14. And we're just going to read a few verses here as a backdrop. It's unfortunate that the chapter breaks come in some occasions as they do. This is one of those because we will be looking at John 13. These are the last words of the Lord, literally, I think no more than an hour, maybe an hour and a half before he headed into the biggest, most severe battle of any battle that was going to happen, literally, in the history of the world, because he was headed to the cross, drinking the cup of suffering. This is what you find in John 14. Let's pick up the reading here in verse 1 through 7. Let's read out loud together, John 14, 1 through 7. Ready? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Other questions was asked by Philip in verse 8, by Judas in verse 22. In verse 27 of John 14, Jesus said, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I pray that the sixth I am the way, the truth, and life, that have helped you today. And I want to talk about that today in the context of it. And I want to look at that with you because this is the sixth of the I Ams that we've been studying. Do you remember these that we've studied over the last weeks? The first was with Jesus saying, I'm the bread of life in John chapter 6. And then he made the statement, I am the light of the world in John chapter 8. Then we studied the next two kind of together, back to back, and I am the door in John 10. And then he used, I am the great shepherd, as he is the great shepherd. And then it's a few months later that you find this very statement as well, I am the resurrection and the life in John chapter 11. And then today, I'm the way, the truth, the life. I hope and pray that when he made this statement, I'm the way, the truth, the life, it goes way beyond a verse in the Romans Road that you can show people about him being the way of salvation. It does include that, but it's even more than that. He wasn't talking to the unsaved masses at this point. He wasn't talking about purely just salvation in the sense of I'm going to witness about myself to people like I'm the resurrection and the life that he vocally said to a group of people when he called out to Lazarus, come out of the tomb. This was a small, secluded time in which he himself was with the 11 other disciples. It was quiet. It was secluded. They had just got done with their meal. In John 13, he had just went down as a leader and got a bowl of water and began washing the feet of the disciples. Unheard of. That doesn't happen. The slave does it before you ever walk in to the room. He knows it's within an hour of walking out of the upper room, down out of the streets of Jerusalem, down through the gate. Then John 18, he shows himself there in the garden. And so these are the last words. So he finds himself in all of that in John 13. Look, if you would, the only phrase in verse 30 out of all the Gospels that Jesus makes this words about washing the feet and preparing for his betrayal and Judas is filled with Satan, and Satan takes him over. And verse 30, he said about Judas, Judas, then having received the sop, went immediately out. And these four English words, and it was night. And in that backdrop, Jesus began helping them to know that as a loving friend, he knows the turmoil, the trouble, the testing these disciples are already feeling, the words that he's giving to them. And he's not now just giving facts about the trouble just ahead of them. But in addition to that, he's trying to calm their hearts as well. And it is no different for their hearts at that time than it is for ours today. Times were fragile right here. This is the context you find the disciples, and the facts were, and the thoughts that were troubling their heart produced fear. There was a sense of abandonment. Let me give these to you, and if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to do so. You find this in John 13. This is what Jesus said in verse 31 of chapter 13. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now's the Son of Man glorified." God's glorified in him. And if God be glorified in him, God will also glorify him to himself. And he's going to straightway glorify him. He's going to be lifted up. He's going to be above anything and everything else. He's trying to let them know this is a whole nother time. And then he says, so tenderly, my little children. I noticed very quickly there was a sense of abandonment that they, as the disciples, were going. He says, verse 33, yet a little while, I'm with you. You're going to seek me. And I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So I'm saying to you, you can't come where I'm coming. And they began hearing these words and thinking, where's he talking about going? He's leaving us after all of this, 3+ years, and I've spent every day with you, and you're leaving? Where are you going? You end up finding this sense where, I don't understand what he's saying. He ties in the theme you'll find throughout his whole last words, a new commandment I'm giving unto you, that you love one another as I loved you. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have what? Love one to another. And this is what he ends up making the statement in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Why did he say that? There was this anxious, unsettled, deep, horrifying feeling of what's coming. And he knew the disciples were feeling the same sense about it all. And the facts he didn't try and change, he couldn't change that. He knew all of it was necessary, that he himself was going to go through, picking up the cup of suffering, representing symbolically all of the pain that I'm going to take, the whole world's going to be placed on my shoulders. And so for the disciples, having this whole sense that it puts us in a place, and when we look at our world, Jesus is trying to say to the disciples, now listen, this is your world right now. Let me give you some truths, calming truths, that'll help you. Number one, he says in chapter 14, verse 1, that the personal faith in a personal God brings personal strength. This is how he said it. Let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, then believe in me. The very simple verb, the present imperative with the sense of keep on believing in God. If you're believing on me, then you believe on God. And the disciples had trusted Jesus to put them in the boat of salvation. He's saying, now listen, no matter what's coming at you, you be settled. I'm right there. I will give you these words. You don't need to be anxious. You don't need to be concerned. This is not the world you're living for. You're living for another world. You believe in me, then you can believe in my Father. 53 times in chapter 13, 14, and 15, you find Jesus using the phrase Father. Father. More so than any other specific time period in Jesus' whole public ministry, Father. Because there's this deep sense that he knew that his relationship to the Father was to be patterned for us in our relationship to the Heavenly Father, praying to the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. Some of you have fathers and good images of fathers. Some of you don't have fathers of good images of them. And some of you don't have a father. And ultimately, why the Word of God in Psalms 27 says, I will be a father to the fatherless. I will be all that you need. And in that word, he very simply says, listen to the disciples, your personal faith in this personal God is going to bring personal strength. Number two, he identifies in verse 2 that he's preparing a place for us. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. And if it weren't so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. For Jesus mentioning the Father's house identified very simply that while preparing a place for us And he's doing that. He wasn't trying to deny the reality of what's going on here in the trouble. He's saying, listen, I want you to look to the future because there's a real reality going on that I'm going to prepare a place for you in heaven. There's four basic words. There's many others, but there are four basic words all through Scripture for the term heaven. He uses the idea of heaven as a city. Hebrews 11, I think it's verse 16. It's a city. He draws this picture of this beautiful city. Heaven's like a city. He uses the second term of a kingdom when he uses the idea of 2 Peter 1:11. He says heaven is like a kingdom. He uses a third term, and it's a garden, or the word paradise. He said it just about 18 hours later to a thief nailed across next to him, say, today you're going to be with me in paradise. The term actually comes from a Persian term of paradise, referring back to the beautiful hanging gardens in this beautiful city, a huge kingdom, and there were gardens. And for a Jew hearing all this, this was just like, awesome. You're preparing all this for me. In the midst of everything I have going, he wasn't trying to don't think about all this. He's saying, you better be aware of all this, but you have to understand that I've got another place for you. And so while I'm preparing that place, I'm also preparing you. So all of these problems and difficulties we're going to go through, I'm using them to prepare you. And we know the full context of the New Testament. Listen to me. The things that you're going through, I'm using them, Jesus saying, to prepare you for another place. This isn't your final place. You've got another place to go to. Does it make sense to you? He says in Romans 5 about the tribulation, worketh patience, patience experience, or character, and character, hope. So no matter what problem you've got going right now, all of that, he's saying, I'm using to prepare you. I'm using to prepare for another place. This isn't the final stop. You're still swimming, and you haven't hit that shoreline yet. And so you keep swimming. It's not a race, a sprint. In addition to that, he also makes a statement here, when I'm going to prepare a place for you, verse 3, I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive you unto myself, and where I am, then you're going to be also. He says, I'm going to come again. It must have been something that is plying on his mind and their minds, because look at verse 18. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come for you. Notice, if you would, in verse 28, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I will give unto you. Verse 28, you have heard, now I said unto you, I go away and I will come again unto you. They're hearing all this. They're saying, well, he's going someplace. He's going to come back and get us. Verse 4, whether I'm going, you know, and the way, you know. You know what way it is. And this is why you end up finding Thomas, who says unto him, Lord, we don't know whether you're going and how we can know the way. So it's an obvious question. Well, where are you going? This is what I'm saying. He doesn't show us the way. He is the way. Because he said, I'm it. There's no other way to the Father but by me.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.